the invitation to speak here. So today I'll speak on work in progress on understanding general derived intersections, and the first part of this work is achieved. So I recall the goal, and then I'll fix the same occasions and notations. So I take X, Y, smooth K schemes, where K is a field of characteristic zero, and X is a smooth subscheme of Y. So I call S the first formal neighborhood of X in Y. So it's A, it's OY over AX square. Write J the embedding of X to S. And so the goal is to understand the derived scheme X derived product with X. So in the case where Y is X square and the embedding is a diagonal embedding, it's exactly the derived loop space Andre was talking about. And it's the spectrum of the symmetric algebra of omega 1 shifted by 1. This is the HKR isomorphism, so it's much more general form. And what I will explain today is, so this is full generality, still an open problem. And today I will explain a complete description of the derived intersection of X in S, not in Y. Bigger, okay, sure, sorry. So, I'll start in a rather detailed way by speaking of deformation theory of perfect complexes. So if I give, assume to be given some perfect complex on X, question is when is K in the image of the derived pullback of complexes on S? So it's first order extension problem, and the answer is provided by a theorem of Eubrecht and Thomas. So to K, so let's hear, I will complete the notation. So S is a first order thickening of X. So I have the conormal sequence, which is this. So I called eta the extension class of this sequence. And S is completely determined by is the square zero, so it's OX twisted by the square zero ideal. And so it's locally trivial, but it's twisted by the class eta. Okay. So to K, you can attach a morphism from K to tensor K shifted by 2, which I call theta K. And this morphism is obtained by first considering the Atiyah class of K. So you go from omega x1 tensor K shifted by 1. And then you apply the extension class eta here. So it's eta identity of K. And you arrive here. So that's what they called Kodaira-Spencer class. And the theorem is that K is of the form Lj star L for L perfect if and only if this class vanishes. Okay. So I will come to that in the description of derived intersection, the link with this later, but so the difficult part in this theorem is not the existence of this extension class. It follows from general results, categorical results by Liebliche and Lewin, but the fact that this class can be explicitly computed at the composition of Atiyah class and Kodaira-Spencer class. It goes up all by itself. Let's try. Okay. So then, all right. Let's try this. So, kind of weird. Okay, so I try to explain some other things on this class, this extension class. So it's even possible to define this class for not on sheaves on X, but even on sheaves on S. So for sheaves on S, so on the thickening, so what you do, so if I take a sheaf or complex of sheaves on S, I can consider, so theta F will be a morphism still in DX from J star F to the first tor group OS F OX shifted by 2. So if F is a push forward of a complex on S, is still F twisted by the conormal shifted by 2. And what is this theta F? So you look at the sheaf of principal parts of F on S. So this guy, I call it E. Then consider this complex, and it is possible to prove that you have an exact sequence like this. So here it's J star F, and here it's the tor group written here. So theta F is this extension class. Okay. And then you have a theorem in the similar spirit. So,
what is E here?
E, it's just the restriction of one form, the cotangent bundle of Y restricted to the subscheme.
To X.
Yeah, okay.
This is all now on X after J.
Okay. Yes, after J is on X. It's morphism in D minus of X. Okay.
And F is not necessarily perfect on X.
No. There is no even finiteness condition. You can not even quasi-coherent. You can define for. Just I assume bounded, otherwise I will have.
Are they sheaves of
all
X modules?
Yes. When I say all S, it's all S modules. And then the theorem is as follows. So the following are equivalent. So first, theta F vanishes second point, the morphism from the derived pullback of F to the underived one has a right inverse. And last point is what you, so it's slightly different than being of the image, but it says, so there exists an admissible complex L and a morphism. So here it's bounded also. And a morphism from L to F such that the composition LJ star L, LJ star F to J star F is an isomorphism. So it's being in, so what is admissible? So it's kind of substitute of perfect if you don't have any finiteness condition on F, but here, admissible means flat in the Artinian direction. So on S, you have X, here it's S, which is first of the sickling. And so this is the Artinian direction, it's a square zero extension. Okay, so now here I'll turn to the link between this theory and derived intersection, which is my topic today. So this link was made turn to derived intersections. So this was done by Parinkin and Caldararu. And what they prove is the following. So As you see, I don't know anything about physics, but this is obviously a question of...
It's physics building everything.
Yes. Okay, so what the remark is the following thing. So you look at this derived scheme. So the structure sheaf of this derived scheme is OX. It's LJ star is the spec of LJ star of OX. And if you look at this sheaf of DG algebras, so the first part splits, so it's OX plus LJ star of the conormal bundle. And if you look at the truncation of this term, it's a complex having cohomology in degree zero, the conormal bundle, and in degree minus one, the second tensor power of the conormal bundle. So it gives you a class in X2 of n star to the second tensor product. And what Arinkin and Kadararu prove is this class is exactly theta n star. So derived intersections are related to deformation theory of the conormal bundle of the subscheme at the first order. So they prove, so now I'll give complete statement. Sorry?
I don't want to use the back word right away.
It's
Yeah, he's right.
This is indeed tricky. So the back one doesn't move, that's a good thing when you write on it, but afterwards you're stuck. Okay. So I'll write once more the theorem again. So much more general form, if you fix yourself so vector bundle on X, then the truncation of LJ star V is exactly the cone of theta v shifted, I bet, by minus one or by one, I don't know. So this is what they prove. And second point, LJ star v is formal in d minus of x if and only if L A star V is formal in that minus. So A is the embedding of X in the, not in the first order thickening, in the smooth ambient scheme. And this is equivalent to the vanishing of V and so this result gives in particular a yes.
I understand the statement. So where does V live to begin with?
On X. So, okay, perhaps I should be more happy if I...
Yeah, okay.
Any more questions? So remember that. So when I'm looking at these guys, I'm looking at the derived schemes. At these two derived schemes over X. And these results give me a formality statement for these derived schemes. So it says that X is formal over X is equivalent to say that this one is formal over X. So it's another way of restating. So if I forget the vector bundle and just looking at these derived schemes, and the class of the conormal bundle vanishes. So this theorem looks surprising at first, because what it says is that the formality is detected only at the first order. That's... So now the question is, what happens in... My goal is to understand what happens if this last condition is not verified. So what can we say about this derived scheme? So I'll take this one. So the question is, what happens if theta of the conormal bundle is no longer zero? So we know that it's no longer, the derived scheme is no longer the spectrum of the formal DG algebra when we look at it over X. And the naive hope is that this obstruction morphism theta allows to describe fully the derived scheme over S, not only the first truncation. But as a matter of fact, it's not the case. So I will spend some time to explain what happens when we try to understand higher truncations. And then we'll see that if we enhance theta somehow at the DG level and not at the derived level, we can reconstruct everything. So I look at this complex, so the truncation in degree minus 2 of something like that, LJ star V. So I have, I write it here. So here I have the truncation triangle. Here's the second. Something like this. So one to construct a morphism from this guy to that guy. Okay. So if you constructed this connection morphism, you're done because you take the cone and you get the third truncation. So what's the naive idea to do that? So you start with this complex, let's call it KV, which is the cone of theta V shifted by minus one. So you take KV, then you apply this deformation morphism theta KV, and then you are in here the conormal tensor KV shifted by 2. And so recall that you have a triangle like this. Okay, so here inside this lives exactly what you want. And here it's some time to write everything down, but after that it will be clear what I'm doing. So here I map it to V, and then it's theta V. So you have a diagram like this, and chalks. But this one is also a distinguished triangle. So when you compose these two arrows, it's zero. So it factors through there, but you have no unicity, no uniqueness. So the map you're looking for obviously exists, but you don't have any specific choice to pick it. So then you have to understand how to circumvent this problem. You have to come back to the original definition of theta. And the one I gave, so recall that theta V is given by the exact sequence. So something like this, conormal here, and then E tensor V, Px1 of V, V. So this is that guy. So it's not only a morphism at the derived level. In fact, it's defined at the level of complexes. So it's a genuine DG morphism in the category of complexes. So then the result we can prove is the following. So I define, so this piece, I consider it as a DG functor. So I consider, let's call it H, the DG functor. So So to any complex V, I associate the cone of this black box. And then main result we have is the following. So I fix any complex of sheaves bounded complex sheaves of OX modules. And then the derived pullback of J star F is isomorphic to the projective limit of, so I'll say what it is afterwards, of Hn of F. And if F is concentrated in a single degree, so in degree zero, because otherwise I will have signs. So the truncation of this derived pullback is exactly Hn of F. And what is H bracket N? It's the equalizer of the N map from Hn, so H composed N times, because it's N the functor of CB. So I have n arrows to hn minus 1. They are induced by the map from h to the identity functor, which is just mapping the principal parts here into to V. So h is somehow the DG enhancement of the morphism theta. And when you get this functor, you can reconstruct all the derived intersections. So just want to say once more, if you look at the first truncation, I can even assume that F is a sheaf on S and not on X, and then use a theta I defined earlier by using pullback of principal parts of S instead of, okay, it's just technical detail. So I won't go into the proof of this because it's somehow boring, but I'll try to explain why having achieved this step can be useful in understanding more general derived intersections, because this is just the end of the story at the first order. Then we understand everything by some explicit complex. So as I said here, formality of the derived intersection over X.
Sorry, but yes. Before this.
Yes. Of course.
Further back, there was a question I was hoping would be answered.
Yes.
So I understood you know, create some chain level version of data, but and that provides this thing into the third shift of.
Yes.
Fine, but why was that the thing you wanted? What problem does this solve?
So, well, in a way, you can see that here, the composite morphism is is zero in derived categories. But if you know exactly, if you're keeping all homotopy into the picture, and all your triangles are in fact real cones, then you know the precise lift you can take. So why is it the good one?
I guess my question is, once you have it, what do you do with it?
So then I take the cone. If I have this map, I take the cone and I get a complex, which now very looks like the truncation. At least,
at the second order,
it looks like it. So then you go further on. I mean, you take the theta of this new complex and you build it. The problem is that at least doing this, you have a candidate which looks like what you want, but you have to prove that it is, in fact, the derived fullback of V. And that's the difficult part.
So these are giving the instructions to splittings of higher and higher order truncations, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But it's, what is funny is that since you're working with an enhancement, it's not clear that it depends only on the, no, I'll say a comment afterwards in the smooth case, but what's sure is that theta as a morphism in derived category is not enough to reconstruct it. That's for sure. You only get a truncation of length too. So as I was saying, so why are these two things equivalent, as proven by Rinkin and Calderaro? One crucial observation they make is that you have a map from Lj star, Li star, A star, Ox to Lj star, J star Ox, and locally in the Zariski topology on X, it looks like thing like this, wedge P conormal tends P shifted by P. And here you have the symmetry, the Shen map. And here it's a full tensor algebra of the conormal bundle. So you see, as soon as you've proven formality of the derived intersection at the first order, you just have to anti-symmetrize it. To get the formality from here. So that's, I mean, I wrote it locally, but if the conormal bundle extends at the first order of your subscheme, this is global, and this is actually how they prove this fact. But I'm now interested in questions that seems to behave different at the first order and at all orders. So I state a conjecture . So first, something else I didn't say that, just say it quickly. If I want to understand this guy as a derived scheme, I have to describe the DG structure on the sheaf of, on the structural sheaf. And this can be done explicitly at the chain level with this functor H. It's a monoidal functor, and you can put all the structures into the picture. Okay, so. So now I'll make some conjectures. So The first one is that the derived fiber product of X, but I look at it now not as a derived scheme over X, but over Y, is formal over Y. So that's something that can look a little surprising at first, but what happened is that push forward functor A star is not faithful. So we know exactly when it's formal over X, but over Y, we believe it's always formal. So there is a weaker version. Is that it's formal over spec K. So you just consider this derived tensor product as an element of the derived category of the ground field. So of course, this one implies this one, but
multiplicative.
Let's say first additively.
Is an everything? Is K a field?
Yeah, K is a field.
Is it every complex over a field?
No. Complex of sheaves. You don't have necessary splittings. It's analytic sheaves. You look at it as sheaves over a vector space, but you have extension class of kind of sheaves that are not split.
Oh, sorry. You mean formal as a complex of sheaves?
Of the complex of sheaves.
You don't mean the.
No.
The global sections.
No. So what's funny is that the result I gave for derived intersection over first order thickening X S X is not formal over S. So if you look at this problem at the first order, it doesn't work. Otherwise, you could apply this trick here. If you have formality over S, then you anti-symmetrize and you get it over Y. So this is the picture is indeed really different as in Arinkin-Calderaro theorem. When you look at formality over X, everything is the same. But over Y, I mean, at the first order of in the ambient smooth scheme. But over Y, it gets completely different. What we can prove is that all truncations, all length two truncations of LJ star, A star OX are formal in D of Y, in fact. So it's same thing as if you look at the spectral sequence computing hypercohomology of the complex, the E2 page, the differential is zero, but you don't know anything about higher differentials. And in fact, this is false at the E2 page for derived intersection over S. So I'll finish with explaining why we believe these conjectures to be true. So these conjectures grew up from discussion I have with Richard Thomas coming from mirror symmetry. So it's expected at least then when So conjecture two is expected to be true when y is, let's say, hyperkähler, and x is Lagrangian. So this is because on the other side, this is not exactly this conjecture, but the dual one. So you replace the Dirac tensor product here by the dual version. So in the diagonal, it's switching from Hochschild to co-Hochschild cohomology. Homology to cohomology, sorry. And when you look at the global X groups, it's mirror to Fleur homology. So it's expected to the spectral sequence. So the spectral sequence from the Schiff X to the global X is expected to degenerate. So there is a little bit of physics in my talks, even if I don't know really the Fleur homology side, but as a matter of fact, so physicians made this conjecture, but it appears that there is no counterexample for arbitrary subscheme, and all examples we computed so far verify formality. So I believe that this has nothing to do with the Lagrangian condition, but it's so this is a conference on Lagrangian thing, and
I think I don't really understand the statement of conjecture one. So
put it in more classical terms, just say that this.
So I have this Dirac tensor product.
You look at this, and I say that it is formal. In D of Y. It means this. So it's almost never formal in D of X. So if you derived with respect to one variables, but if you derive it as a bifunctor, then it can split. So for instance, a very simple example where you can see what happens.
So you're talking about push forward, pull back, and then push forward.
Yes,
again.
Exactly. So if
so
you look.
You're hoping that after you push forward again,
then
it does become formal on the target spaces above.
So let me give a very concrete example. So you take a divisor. So it's perhaps the most simple example, but you understand how it works. And you take a vector bundle that cannot be extended to S. And you're looking at that guy. With V. Okay. So if I look at LJ FLA star A star V, it's not formal because of this condition. But here, if I derive it as a bifunctor, I just take the resolution of OX as a divisor, and it's V plus the conormal tensor V shifted by 1. So you see that many things can happen when you push forward once more. So this same kind of phenomena that we expect. And so the weakest form of the conjecture is over the ground field, but even over Y, we didn't find any counterexample to that. Okay, so, well, I think I'll stop there. Thank you very much.
questions?
In the case of the loop space,
yes,
it's number two.
Well, in the case of the loop space, I mean, if your
subscheme admits a global retraction, so in the case of a loop space, you have any projections, then you're in. I mean, Arinkin-Calderaro's theorem was generalization of the loop space case. So in this case, we understand everything. I mean, the derived scheme is the spectrum of the symmetric algebra of the cotangent bundle, and all this story is okay.
Well, let's think of it again.